So great to see you all here. Hope everybody has had a happy new year so far. Let's all worship the Lord tonight.
Destined to die. God's only Son, perfect and spotless one. He never sinned, suffered as if He did. And all authority, every Jesus, awesome in power forever. Awesome and great is your name. You overcame.
Amen. Celebrate the Lord tonight.
All right, we're going to start tonight in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 is probably one of, it's definitely in my top 10 chapters of the Bible. I really like it. There's a lot of good stuff in Romans, and 12 holds a lot of stuff that I really like. But Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 6. Starting in 6, it says, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. Now, I want to pause right there for a second. So good, it's on the screen there. So it doesn't say, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, and some of us exercise them accordingly, right? Y'all all got that, right? Each of us. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. That's a tough word for me. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. And I threw in verse 9 just for fun there, because there's a couple of times in Scripture, over in Corinthians we see this too, when we see a list of spiritual gifts given. Paul in Corinthians says, you know, hey, you can have and do all these things, but without love. You need love. And I think it's pretty awesome that even here in Romans chapter 12, when we get this list of spiritual gifts, the very next verse in verse 9 says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. I think it's really awesome that when we're talking about spiritual gifts, that the Scripture really puts a bookend on that with the word love. What we're talking about with gifts, those things are, one, okay, a gift is given, right? It is given. You don't earn a gift. You know, you don't get, you win a prize. You get rewarded for effort. A gift is given. So the Spirit has given these gifts. When He shows up in His corduroy jacket and He's handing us gifts, there you go. When he's putting these gifts out, it's given to us. And those are intended for us to use to love one another, to love and to show His love. So He gives us that. Thank goodness He gives us that. Also, our gifts differ. I promise y'all, all of you, I am not so afraid to say all of y'all have better gifts than I do, most likely, okay? But we all have our different gifts. If you read the verses ahead of where I started in verse 6, it talks about the body. It's talking about the body of Christ. And we're all basically different body parts. You know, some of us are a thumb. Thumbs are real handy, right? Some of us are an ear, right? Ear can't do what a thumb can, and a thumb can't do what an ear can. You know, some of you may be a little toe, and you think, well, I'm just a little toe. Little toes matter. If you don't believe me, when you get home, take off your shoe, run through the house, and ram it into a door frame. Yeah, it matters, doesn't it? Yeah, it impacts your body, and in fact, if there's other bodies around you, it'll probably impact them a little bit too, right? But it matters. We're all to work together as one body, and the gifts that we all have, they're different. They are different, but all of that comes together in a beautiful picture in the body of Christ, and it works together. That's what those gifts do. Also, those gifts, when used, they glorify God. Now, too often times, we don't use the gifts that He's given us. When I was a young man in high school, I was coming up playing sports, and there was a guy that was three grades ahead of me. His name was Jeffrey Young, His nickname was Jawbone, okay? And Jawbone was about 6'5", maybe 210, 215, and could run like a 4.440. And if you're not into sports, a 4.440 means he's going 40 yards from standing still in 4 seconds, okay? That's fast. He played receiver on the football team. Unbelievable. He played center field on the baseball team. The Seattle Mariners heard about Jawbone, and they sent some scouts down to Hartselle, Alabama one day and put on a tryout just for Jawbone. And look, Hartselle had a history of kids just going straight to pro. Chris Heaps went straight to the New York Yankees. Steve Woodard went straight to the Milwaukee Brewers. Here was Jawbone with an opportunity to do the same thing. Jawbone didn't even show up. And y'all, I was a Jawbone fan, okay? I mean, I was jealous of the skills that Jawbone had. I wanted that. I wanted that so much so that when Jawbone graduated in football, he was number 80. When he left that number behind, you know what I got? Number 80, baby. Yeah, I was Jawbone Jr., right? And what was so crazy about that is I told you how tall and big and fast Jawbone was, and he's also a black guy, too. So he went from a black guy, 6'5", you know, 220, and at the time I was about 5'8", 135-pound white guy, and I could not run a 4.440, okay? So it was pretty funny that that was really called Jawbone Jr. on the football team. I was not a Jawbone. So it hurt my feelings to hear that this guy who had this kind of talent, he just let it go to waste. Well, what I'm talking about is just physical, you know, ability and talent. How much sadder, is that the right word? How much worse is it to waste a gift that God has given us to further His kingdom? You know, it really hurt my feelings to see Jawbone not at least go try it. He'd have made the I mean, they send a scout down to your city from Seattle to watch you try out. That's a pretty good sign, right? That's a pretty good sign. Just hurt my feelings. Well, I can't imagine with the gifts of the Spirit that God has given His children to further His kingdom. And if He's sitting there and we are completely sitting on the sideline and not using our gifts. I think one reason that we don't use our spiritual gifts is we think we're not good enough. I think we believe we're not consistent enough. I think maybe we believe we're not spiritual enough. Whatever we come up with, it's a lie. It's a lie of the devil that he's telling us that you if you were just a little better in this area, if you just did this a little bit more, then maybe God could use you, right? It's the lie of perfection is really what it is. Well, y'all, I'm telling you, if God was waiting on me to be perfect to use me, we'd have to wait till I was on the other side of this life and in heaven. And Joy said, amen. We're not perfect, but we believe that lie. And we sit on our gift and we don't use it. Well, my sermon here tonight is to encourage you to get up and use your gift or gifts with an S. Use them. Use them. Please use them. Look, God has gifted it to you. You are a part of a body that God wants to grow and move and make an impact to believers and unbelievers alike. And He's given you a gift to do that. And you have a part of that. And you have a part in that. I encourage you. I implore you. That's a word I don't use often. To use it. Please, please use it. I will tell you what I recognized in this study is God is very, very consistent in His use of imperfect people. Do y'all know why He is so consistent in using imperfect people? That's all He's got. That's all He's got. We're all imperfect. In fact, we're all so imperfect. In order to have a perfect person, God himself had to become a person so that one could be perfect. That's where we're at. So look, we're all, Philip said, we're all in the same boat Sunday. I remember you saying that. We're all in this boat. We're all in this boat together, okay? When we look through Scripture and we see, y'all ever heard of Abraham in the Bible? Anybody ever heard of Abraham? Six of you have. That's good. One of you hasn't, so that's, I appreciate the honesty. But Abraham, right? Father Abraham. When we look in Genesis and we start looking at all the, look, there's covenants, there's promises, there's all this stuff that we see with Abraham. We get to Genesis chapter 12 and we get into verse 11, and here's Abraham and Sarah, and they're in an uncomfortable position. And those of y'all who know the Scripture, y'all know what I'm about to say. Abraham lies about who Sarah is. He lies. Is this your wife? Is that your wife? No, that's exactly what, right, that's what it did, right? And that's what will happen when you do that. But it's, he lies about it. Y'all, in two more chapters, you get in there, and it's like Abraham is accounted, he's righteous. He's called righteous by God. Well, how is it that this liar lied about his wife? How is it that he's righteous? And I think if those of, we know about Abraham and Abraham's life, and I ask the question, did God use Abraham? Yes. Was Abraham perfect? No. But he still used him. He still used him, no matter that he had to, because he wasn't perfect. And really, one of the ideas, in a conversation that I had with somebody, that gave me the idea behind this a little bit, we're talking about Samson. And in Judges, we see that Samson is, he is really called and gifted by God. He is called and gifted. And in, here again, in just a couple of chapters, we see a complete moral collapse in Samson's life, right? I mean, just a complete wheels come off. And even in his collapse, and even in his perceived weakness, the gift that God gave Samson, God used it. God used it. Was Samson perfect? Did God use Samson? He sure did. Next on the list, let's talk about David just a minute. Obvious one. Y'all, I thought about trying to come up with something on this. Maybe one day I will. I'll write my own chapter and see how. I'll make it modern day, if you will. I'll make it straight out of Walker County. All right, that's what I'll do. But 2 Samuel 11, if you knew nothing about the Bible at all, and I just took 2 Samuel chapter 11 out of it, and I handed it to you, and I said, hey, I want you to read about this guy named David. And when you get through with this, I want you to tell me what you think about David. What we see when we read that chapter is we see this leader, this king, who stayed at home and didn't go to war, and you go, well, is he lazy? What is he? Is he just, what's he not involved in this for? Then we see, while he's at home, he looks across the street over there and he goes, hey, there's a hottie over there. What's going on over there? Of course, he finds out, he's like, hey, who is that? Well, that's Uriah's wife. Oh, okay. So then Uriah, and the type of guy Uriah is, and we see this in this very chapter, Uriah comes in and he's in town and he's like, hey, did you go home last night? No, I didn't go home. I slept out here at the gate. I've got people out here, you know, fighting for us. I'm not going to go home and eat, drink, and be merry while my men are out here. He's like, no, I didn't do that. That's the type of guy Uriah was. And David goes, hey, let's take this guy, let's put him on the front line. And when we go back out, make sure he's on the front line. And y'all kind of back off a little bit and make sure that guy gets killed. And he does. I don't know what you call that legally. Premeditated manslaughter? So he gets killed. Well, now he's gone. And Bathsheba, she mourns for a little bit. And after she's through with that, next thing you know, hey, they're married and they have a kid. If I took that story out and gave that to you. And like I said, if I changed the names and made it Walker County or today's version of that, you read about that guy and you would go, man, this dude is a dog. He is, who is this? The Bible calls David a man after God's own heart. The lineage, the earthly lineage of our Savior comes through him. Was David perfect? God used David. He used him before this, and he used him after this. He's a human. That's what he is. We get into the New Testament. Simon Peter, easy one to pick on. Many of y'all know what I'm about to say, right? Here's Jesus telling Peter, hey, Jesus is, he's about to get arrested. And he tells Peter, he says, hey, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. King James says thrice, right? You're going to deny me three times. Peter's like, no, man, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that. What happens? Cock-a-doodle-doo happens, right? Well, then Jesus is crucified. Jesus is buried. He's raised again. And I believe when we get to, and I think it's the third time that Jesus has appeared to the disciples since he was crucified. And this is the story where Jesus is on the beach. The guys are out in a boat and they're like, hey, that's Jesus over there. And they ain't catching, and it's almost like the beginning of their relationship. We're not catching any fish. In my world, they're crappie fishing, right? You got to be crappie fishing. And next thing you know, they've got a mess of crappie, and they're headed to the bank, and they're about to have fish fry, right? That's the southern interpretation. And this is when Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? Right? And just like he denied him three times, he asked him three times, do you love me? And remember, he tells him, he says, in some versions it says, well, then tend to my flock. Some says, feed my sheep. The point is he tells Peter, I need you to pick up and I need you to carry on and take care of those followers. I need you to do that. The guy who denied. And look, Pete, we could pick on Peter for a little while, but was Peter perfect? Not at all. Did God use Peter in a mighty way? And then the last one that I'll throw out there is Paul. Paul calls himself the chief of all sinners. We see when we read about Paul that he persecuted Christians. Bad things happened to Christians because of Paul. But much of the New Testament, much of what we know and much of what we have was given to us straight from Paul. And Paul even says of himself over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 9 and 10, he says, for I am the least of the apostles and not fit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me did not prove vain. But I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me. The lie that if I did this, or if I was a little better, I'm not good enough to be used by God, is exactly that. It's a lie. It is a straight lie. Every one of those people that I just told you about, every one of them, y'all all said it, they're not perfect. In fact, some of them, man, they messed up. They messed up big. But God used them. And here's the point. If you think I'm not good enough, then you're exactly where you need to be for God to use you. Because that is the point. God is good enough. God gets the glory. God gets the recognition. That's the point. You're right. I'm not good enough and you're not either. But he is. And that's what we've got to understand. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 9, says this. And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. What an awesome, awesome verse. And if you're sitting there and maybe you've got something that you're just waiting on something, you're waiting on getting better, you're waiting on whatever it is, I would encourage you, put that verse in your memory bank. Tape that one up on your mirror and read that one every once in a while to yourself. My grace is sufficient for you. Power is perfected in weakness. We are all that. We are all that. And we all need to be encouraged in what the Spirit and what God has given us in His gifts and how He is supporting us in those gifts. And we need to step out in faith and use those gifts. A couple of things that I want you to take from tonight. And I'm so excited about tonight too. And I'm not going to dwell here very long, because my wife will tell you most of the time when I take notes and I put stuff together, at some point she'll be like, will you please just wrap this up and stop? And I think my sermons are not long enough sometimes, and they're just too long. Tonight, I think I've done a good job, y'all. I'm bringing this thing home. I'm excited about it anyway. But some things from an application that I would like you to take home with you is, one, recognize that God has entrusted you. God has entrusted you with gifts, a gift or gifts. He has entrusted you with that. And it wasn't by accident that He gave you the gift that He gave you, okay? God's not up there going, oh, you know what? Ooh, Corey, oh man, I messed up on Corey. That was a bad match on my part. No, He's not doing that. The gift He has given you, it is perfect. It is perfect for His cause. It is perfect for His reason. He has entrusted you with that. Please don't waste that. Don't be jawbone. Don't waste that. Number two, reject that lie that you got to be perfect. Okay, I think we walked all over that one. Tonight, if you listened halfway, that now is an excuse, is what that is. Okay? If you struggle with that, remember, go back, write down 2 Corinthians 12:9 and memorize that verse if you're struggling with that. And this one here, I didn't put this one in here to condemn anybody. I really put this one in here to try to, maybe the right word is prod. Y'all seen a cattle prod before? Little shocker, you know. It'll get you moving, right? That's what I put this one in here for. Number three here is, do what you know you should do. If you have a gift that God's given you and you know that you should be doing something, do it. Now here's the prod. Here's the prod. James chapter 4, verse number 17. It says, so whoever knows the right thing to do and doesn't do it, to him it is sin. I think that's an interesting perspective when you think about what we're talking about this evening. Number four, move forward in your faith. If you know that you have been trusted with that gift, take a step. Take a step. Take that step in faith and let God show you who He is. Take a step in faith. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says, as each has received a special gift, I love that, a special gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. It says use it. Use it. Tonight, I guess a desire of my heart to see our church just active. It is a desire of my heart to see myself involved in ministry. It is a desire of mine to see my family and my kids involved in ministry. And when I say family, you guys are my church family. We're a family. And I want to see this family grow. I want to see this family impact. I want to see this family respond to God's word when God's word is preached. This desire that I want for all of us. And when I look at the scripture and I know that God has gifted each and every one of us with a spiritual gift and talent to go out there and use it, it's like, go get them, guys. Go get them. Let God work through you to make a difference and to love other people, to love our brothers and sisters, and to love those who don't know Christ yet. I hope that my words tonight have been a little encouraging. I don't know if there's anybody here who's like, I probably should be doing that, or I might should. Do it. Do it. That's what I would encourage you with. God provides where we're lacking. He will strengthen you. He will be glorified when you use your gift. I hope you want to glorify God. That's what we're to be about. You want to do that? Use your gift. Glorifies God. When we step forward, it will demonstrate faith, and God will honor that faith. So tonight, I want to encourage you, pray about, think about, figure out what those gifts are that God has gifted you with, and use them. Jump in there. Come on in. The water's fine.